House Committee on Business and Labor, and I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2992.
Mr. Chair, Committee Members, House Bill 2992 provides emergency unemployment insurance benefits to individuals who exhausted regular benefits. There's an emergency clause on the measure effective upon passage, and for those in the audience, we're having a work session on this to move the bill to the Rules Committee.
Any questions? I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair.
Representative.
I move House Bill 2992 to the Rules Committee without recommendation.
Representative Barton moves House Bill 2992 to the Committee on Rules without recommendation. Is there any discussion on the motion? Is there any opposition to the motion? Seeing none, so moved. Open a work session on House Bill 2593.
Mr. Chair, Committee Members, House Bill 2593 requires the Public Employees Retirement Board to allow retired members and beneficiaries to make voluntary monthly contributions to labor organizations and requires the cost of the measure be paid from contributions that are made by members and beneficiaries. We first heard this bill on February 25th. And again, audience, we are moving the bill to Rules Committee.
I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair.
Representative.
I move House Bill 2593 to the Committee on Rules without recommendation.
Representative Barton moves House Bill 2593 to the Committee on Rules without recommendation. Is there any discussion on the motion? Is there any opposition to the motion? Seeing none, so moved. I'm going to close the work session on that. And morning, Kevin.
Morning.
Open a work session on House Bill 2732.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, before you is 2732 from the Subcommittee on Workforce Development, creates a Career and Technical Education Collaboration Task Force and designates the membership of the task force. It requires a report by October 1st, 2010, and also provides that the act is repealed on the date of commencement of the next regular session. There's an emergency clause. Your subcommittee passed this out on a unanimous vote that included the dash 1, dash 5, and dash 6 amendments. The dash 1, dash 5, and dash 6 amendments are reflected in the dash 7 amendments. We put them all together for the committee's consideration. Again, that passed out of the subcommittee on a 5-0 vote.
And members, there are a lot of really good people that wanted to be in this bill, and we beat the fiscal down. We did not put them all in there. One is obviously Saban Schellenberg School in North Clackamas School District, which I am a huge supporter of. My daughter goes to that school district. She goes to high school blocks away. She's toured it many times as a young kid, and I love what they do up there. And in no way, shape, or form, and they're not being, them and others not being included in this bill, does that mean we do not want or want to discourage them from participating? On the contrary, we want them all to participate fully, completely, and I hope they all do. But for those stated reasons, they're not in here. So I would entertain a motion. House Bill 2732 as amended.
To the floor.
It's already amended, correct?
It's already amended. Forgive me. We're all ready to go.
It is dash 7, Chair, and this does have a subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
Oh, it does?
Sorry, yes, it does.
Oh, excuse me. Yes, it does. Forgive me.
Mr. Chair?
Representative.
I will move House Bill 2732 to Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Barton moves House Bill 2732
with a dash 7
amendment. As amended, to the floor with a due pass recommendation with a subsequent referral to Ways and Means. Any discussion on the motion? It's a good bill. It should pass. Any opposition to the motion? And I just want to thank the subcommittee for doing all this work. The chair is out ill. He will be here to vote on one bill today. I'm grateful for the work they did and the administrator, Kevin, did
Chair.
Here. Representative Estwell.
Just for the record, this Representative Dembro did some outstanding work on this bill. He should be commended accordingly, and I want to thank Representative Fulvey and Chair Witt and everyone on that, the Vice Chair as well, that this was crafted and discussed and cussed and discussed, and I think this is the product, and I think it's a pretty good product.
Thank you, Representative. Any further discussion on the motion? Is there any opposition to the motion? Seeing none, so moved. To open a work session on your this one too, right?
Yeah.
A work session on House Bill 2821.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, before it's 2821, another bill that comes to you from the House Subcommittee, or the House Business Labor Subcommittee. This matter prohibits an employer under the OFLA, the Oregon Family Leave Acts, from requiring an employee to use accrued vacation leave or any other paid leave when taking family leave, provides the employer subject to either a collective bargaining agreement, an agreement between an employer and employee, or subject to the above provision regarding the use of accrued vacation leave may determine the particular order in which the accrued leave is to be used. There is a dash 2 amendment. Actually, there was a dash 1. The dash 2 corrects a Scrivener's error. The amendment states the employer shall provide an employee with a copy of the employer's policy regarding procedures for taking family leave. The amendments also provide that the employee shall communicate to the employer within a reasonable period of time prior to taking family leave the intention of the employee to use accrued vacation, and this does not supersede existing notice requirements found in statute, specifically ORS Chapter 659A.
I would entertain a motion.
Dash 2 is correct.
This is the dash 2.
Mr. Chair, I move dash 2 is into House Bill 2821.
Representative Barton moves dash 2 amendments in House Bill 2821. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Mr. Chair, I'll be a no on 2821.
Representative.
Yes. Mr. Chair, I will also be a no because what this sets up is you could take your family leave, come back, and go on 2 or 3 weeks vacation paid leave. And I don't think that's appropriate to any employer in the state of Oregon. So I will, therefore, be a no.
Are there any other no's that I need to know about?
Mr. Thatcher?
Okay. Then I'm going to close the work session until later on today. And I'm going to move on. Thank you very much. I'm going to open a public hearing on House Bill 3219.
Mr. Chair, actually, there's only one person in the audience that signed up to testify. The others are in another hearing room. We need to pull them out. So can
we skip over that?
Yes, please. While we
close that work session, open work session, a public hearing on House Bill 2955.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 2955 permits a contracting agency to accept certain financial instruments from a contractor in lieu of monies held as retainage in connection with public improvement contracts and permits a contractor to accept similar instruments from a subcontractor. You have in front of you, committee members, a dash 1 amendment which clarifies the intent of the measure. There is no fiscal or no revenue in the dash 1 amendment, essentially, and with the original bill as well.
Thank you. I'd like to call Steve Wildish, John Rakowitz, and Paul Phillips. Then we'll follow up with Brian Krieg, and if anyone else wants to testify on this bill, let me know. Whoever wants to go first, guys.
I will quickly. John Rakowitz, for the record, Public Affairs Director with AGC. Want to thank the committee and the chair in particular for helping us introduce this bill. We believe it's a technical bill. I'm here to speak to the amendments if there are any questions. But first, Steve Wildish, to my right, is here to speak to the bill itself and its purpose. Thank you.
Thank you. Chair Schaffler and committee, good morning. My name is Stephen Wildish. I reside in Eugene, Oregon. I'm here representing my company, Wildish Construction Company, and AGC. We're seeking your support of House Bill 2955. The 2003 Legislative Assembly revamped and updated the public contracting rules, ORS 279. As part of this, there's quite a bit of housekeeping that was done. And in fact, a regulation was repealed as part of that housekeeping. The effect, though, of repealing that regulation was provided an unintended consequence, and that was instead of repealing a redundant regulation, there was some substantive pieces that were lost. And after having spoken to many of the people involved with ORS 279 revisions, that was an unintended consequence. This situation is not unlike doing housekeeping or cleaning your garage. All kinds of things get thrown out, only to find out later that something unintended was disposed of. House Bill 2955 will put back in place alternatives to cash retainage that were lost, in particular, irrevocable letters of credit. Our company has a long history of providing our public owners letters of credit in lieu of cash retainage. Our most significant customer, ODOT, encouraged us to come to the legislature this session to ask for this bill. And this bill provides the fix that we feel is needed. Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee.
On behalf of the... Hang on a second. I need to make a couple of announcements that I neglected to because there's people waiting. Forgive me. We are carrying over House Bill 2910 to Monday due to the amendments not being prepared. And we do not have the fiscal on House Bill 3122. We are going to wait until the end of the hearing to see if we get it. But if we don't, then we'll be carrying that one over, too. Just for those of you out there waiting, forgive me for not announcing that earlier. Go ahead, Mr. Phillips.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, my name is Paul Phillips. I'm with PacWest Communications. I represent the National Electrical Contractors Association, who requested this bill of your committee. But today, also in support of it, is the Oregon State Building and Construction Trade Council, both chapters of NECA, the IBEW Electrical Workers Local 48 and 280. Good bill should pass. Does two things to keep in mind. It provides improved access to retained funds, which means specialty subcontractors like I represent, general contractors like they recommend, they represent, will have access to their working capital. That's number one. Number two, it does not increase the cost of public improvement projects. So it gives us capital, doesn't cost anymore. Good thing, should pass. It was part of the whole discussion when we rewrote public contracting. It needs to be fixed. Please vote yes.
It's going to allow you to continue to take that beautiful Oregon gravel and continue to build America.
Thank you.
I love everything about this. Any questions of these gentlemen?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
You bet.
Mr. Krieg, you want to come up and help us out here? Not yet. We will be in a Anyone else want to testify on House Bill 2955? Now's your chance. Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, this is a great bill. Should pass. This bill will help small businesses statewide retain its...
Brian, your name.
Brian Krieg on behalf of the Sheet Metal and Air Conditioning Contractors and the Plumbing and Mechanical Contractors Association. Sorry, sir. This will help free up needed operating capital, especially at a time period when we're all suffering with the economy that we have at the moment. So small businesses, I appreciate your vote of confidence in this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions of Mr. Krieg?
Yeah.
Hang on, sir.
I should have maybe asked this the last panel, too.
We can get him back up here.
I'm just wondering, you know, experiencing these things right now, I'm just wondering about if there's a good faith dispute on a prevailing wage issue, instead of withholding all of retainage, how about having an option of putting that money that's being disputed into an escrow so that retainage can be released.
Anybody up out there want to come up and answer that question?
With the bill.
Question?
Let's deal with one question at a time.
Chair Schaffler, I don't know the answer to that question, not being the actual...
One of you guys want to come up and answer that? Or try to? Or not?
Sure.
Thank you, Brian.
As I understand it, your question is if you have, for example, a BOLI claim?
Right.
Okay.
Instead of ODOT withholding the entire amount of retainage against the contractor and everybody else on the job, withholding all that amount, which could be hundreds of thousands of dollars, as you know, rather than withholding all that amount when we're talking about maybe, you know, $1,000, $2,000, $5,000, $10,000, whatever, in a prevailing wage dispute, you know, withhold that $10,000, whatever that amount is, in an escrow account while that gets discussed,
right,
and release the rest of it.
Right. Well, we support you in that.
Okay.
There's no question. The BOLI issues, as you know, Representative, are complex and the inner workings of how those are addressed with the Department of Labor and Industries require probably other attention. What this bill, though, will do is it will provide us with, as we say, more capital available, however a BOLI may act in that regard. We are oftentimes fighting for our subcontractors when they have BOLI claims in terms of money and how we release money, and I'd be more than happy to work with you on that outside this bill.
And Representative, I would be too. I think it's a fair question. I think it's a fair request. I think it makes sense. You got hundreds of thousands of dollars tied up over a small, much smaller amount. I think it's fair to say, pay out the money, keep what you need, is what's contested, and then settle. That's a concept I'd be more than happy to pursue with you.
Thank you.
But this bill, I want to move this bill today.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we should.
All right, thanks, guys. Representative Esquivel, then Representative Holder.
Yes, well, I have a question, but evidently everyone's running off.
Get back up here.
Everyone seems to be, they want to run away from this thing for some reason.
Well, we're not doing medical marijuana, right? I think you have a good reason.
But,
go ahead, Representative.
So what you're saying here is that if you have a BOLI claim, they withhold a certain segment of the whole contract instead of just that amount? Is that what we're saying?
No.
Example.
Go ahead.
She just said $100,000 or
something. Let's get it explained.
Again, we're mixing apples and oranges here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This bill doesn't really have anything to do with.
Well, I understand that.
Yeah.
I understand that. That's a separate issue.
That's correct.
Yeah.
We could spend a lot of time talking about all the various issues dealing with BOLI claims, and basically what happens when you have a BOLI claim with a subcontractor, BOLI gives you notice of their intent to attach your bond, okay, as a general contractor. At that point, what a general contractor has to do is consider what amounts they need to retain of subcontractor payments to cover this risk. And as a general contractor, what we want to do, we want to hold back enough money to cover the BOLI claim. But oftentimes, these BOLI claims are overstated 5-10 times. So how the subcontractor can be damaged is that general withholding this huge amount of money when in reality it's a small amount that's really involved in the claim. So what generals like our company try to do is go back to BOLI and say, how much money are we really talking here? And withhold really amount that is representative of the claim that's involved. And that is an issue I know the Representative Thatcher is very well understanding of, and as I say, probably could be addressed outside this bill.
It's outside this bill, but does that answer your question, Representative?
No, I was just curious. She made a statement there, and I wanted to...
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you. Representative Colby.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Actually, Mr. Wildish just made the point I was going to make. So.
Oh, very good. Any more questions of anyone else on this bill? Thanks, guys.
Okay, thanks.
I would entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, I move the dash ones to 2955.
Representative Cameron moves dash one amendment, House Bill 2955. Is there any discussion on the motion? Is there any opposition? Did I enter into
Yeah,
session?
We're not in the work session.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
We are now.
Okay.
Representative Cameron.
Mr. Chair, I'll move the dash one amendments to House Bill 2955.
Representative Cameron moves dash one amendments to House Bill 2955. Is there any discussion on the motion? Is there any opposition to the motion?
So moved, Representative.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2955 as amended to the House floor with a due pass.
Representative Cameron moves House Bill 2955 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on the motion? Is there any opposition to the motion? Seeing none, so moved. Would anyone like to volunteer to carry this bill on the floor?
I'll take it.
Very good. Representative Esquivel. Close the work session. I'm going to open a public hearing, House Bill 3219.
Mr. Chair, committee members, House Bill 3219 describes a method by which an owner or a person in charge of a hotel or motel may comply with the statutory requirement to post signs that give notice of Oregon smoking laws.
Very good. I would like to call Kevin Campbell, Dr. Cohn, Christina McNick. I don't think Christina is. The doctor isn't here, so we're going to have Kane.
And Christina is hearing room A, I believe.
Okay. It's all right. Go ahead, please.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, for the record, my name is Kevin Campbell. I'm here today on behalf of the Oregon Lodging Association. I want to start just by thanking the chair, Representative Cameron, and Representative Wisnett for sponsoring this bill, and I want to thank the committee also for considering this important issue for the Oregon Lodging Association. The purpose of me being up front today is I believe we've had a chance to have a number of discussions with DHS. Katie will speak in a moment from their part, but I just want to quickly explain why this bill was brought forward and what I think we've arrived at in terms of a solution for your consideration. The language of House Bill 3219 is designed to simplify for Oregon lodging operations what the requirements are for signage and posting of the smoke-free law. We believe, based on the rules that took the language, shall post appropriate signs, went further than the lodging operations desired it to go. It didn't seem to recognize the unique station of lodging operations and required an excessive amount of signage on both exterior doors and windows. And so we went forward with this bill. We've talked to DHS since then, and I believe they, one, recognize our concerns about the current rule. I believe that they consider our changes reasonable, and I expect that we've reached an agreement to pursue the adjustment through rule. I will say, and Katie will appreciate this, because that whenever you go to rule, it's a nerve-wracking process because it's purely based on trust. And so today, I will tell you completely, I trust Katie King. I do. And so I come before the committee on behalf of the Lodging Association to say that when I talk to Katie and we talk through an issue, I have a lot of confidence in where we're going with that. I do want to note in the language of the bill, there's a few adjustments that actually Katie's shop pointed out that if we pass the bill would have to be changed. Anyway, I'd like to put them on the record just so that as we go to rulemaking, it's with the understanding that these adjustments would be considered as well. When we identified what's required for the actual posting, we actually, in our bill, required the hotel operation to post at the main entrance the whole law, which probably is unnecessary. So they pointed out that maybe we just wanted to post the aspects that just provide the notice to people that are visiting the hotel. So we would probably change that, and we would need to discuss what actually is communicated at the front desk, because at hotels, of course, and motels, we have the ability to visit with each guest. We have the ability to lay out the rules in specifics, hand them additional information, and orient them to the law, which is something unique to our operations. And then finally, in the third note, which is on line 25, it just says that we shall establish policies to deter unlawful smoking on the premises of a hotel or motel. I think DHS considered that a pretty vague provision. We talked about it, and I think we agree, and we probably have agreed that that's unnecessary altogether. And with that, Mr. Chair, I will turn it over to Katie, and I hope what Katie will say is, yes, we believe you have reasonable changes in mind. We think we can get you there. I will say that I understand on the record that a rulemaking process is a rulemaking process. There has to be testimony, the opportunity for people to weigh in. I get that, but what's of concern to me is that both the department and the industry believe we've reached a place of reason that we can pursue. And so, Chair, thank you. Committee members, thank you for the opportunity to come forward. Katie, thanks for the ability to talk through this and try to work out something that we can do together. Thank you.
Before we go to Katie, Kevin, it's just refreshing to know that there's some people in this building that trust one another.
Mr. Chair, for the record, my name is Katie King, and I'm the Government Relations Manager for the Public Health Division in the Department of Human Services. And Dr. Cohn felt this issue was important. However, he's in another hearing testifying on some other bills. And I'd also like to say, for the record, Representative Schaffler, I trust you as well.
Oh, that's very kind of you.
On House Bill 3219, to give a little context, the Indoor Clean Air Act passed during the 2007 session. That's something that we're very proud of, to have played a role working with legislators to pass that legislation and to protect Oregonians from secondhand smoke. And as part of that, we did have a rules process, and we brought community partners in to weigh in on this, and I'm sorry that we didn't address your concerns at that time. However, this is something that we can address by rule. We have had conversations with both Kevin and the Oregon Lodging Association, and the provisions do sound reasonable. However, as Dr. Cohn reminded me, that it is a public process, and we do want to have public input from other folks while we develop the rules. But we will definitely be working with the Oregon Lodging Association on something, and Senator Burdick asked as well, and we sent a letter to her earlier this year to say that yes, our intention is to look at these issues in rule, and we think that we can do it before 2010. So in lieu of this bill, we'd appreciate the opportunity to work together with the Oregon Lodging Association.
Thank you, and I really like it when an industry that's and the regulatory body work together and come in here and beating heads against one another. So, all right, Ms. McNitt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. For the record, Christina McNitt. I'm representing the Cultural Advocacy Coalition, and I am fortunate enough to have on my board of directors Paul Nicholson, who's the executive director of the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. And you know, it is a season of the legislative process. I am interested in House Bill 3219 primarily for the relating clause, which is relating to smoking, and that's for the purpose of a friendly amendment I hope you would consider. In the expansion of the Oregon Clean Air Act in 2007, the law of unintended consequences occurred, and that is that it prohibited the use of smoking instruments. Previously, I think there was a prohibition on the use of tobacco, and that was managed by using herbal cigarettes or some other products on stage. But right now, there's a concern that the 2007 legislation is interpreted to mean absolutely no smoking or use of smoking instruments of any sort on stage. And so for the Oregon Shakespeare Festival and for other theatrical performances across the state, the Cultural Advocacy Coalition would be very happy if you would consider these amendments that would allow, I'll read them to you. Restrictions on using smoking instruments shall not apply to bona fide theatrical performances where the use of such instruments is specified by the playwright or is determined to be an integral part of the personality of a particular character. And again, they're not using the tobacco products, but the question of what is a smoking instrument, is that a cigarette holder? Is that an unlit cigar, a clove cigarette, things like that. So hopefully these amendments would be favorably considered by the committee.
And that's my intention if I enjoy the support of the committee.
Thank you.
Actually, to just remove the existing language and insert that language.
No.
Any questions of these good people? All right.
Mr. Chair, I just want to thank Katie and Kevin for coming together, and obviously if we don't have to pass a bill to get something done, that's a great way to go, and thank you for helping out on this.
I echo that. Anything else? And we don't have the language. I believe we will have it by whenever we get it.
We have a special for Monday.
For Monday.
Mr. Chair,
yes.
Katie King again. Thanks for the notice. This is something that we'd like to discuss with our program before we weigh in on this issue.
We discuss away, Ms. King.
Thank you.
I wouldn't have expected anything else. Any further questions or comments? Thank you very much. Anyone else want to testify on House Bill 3219? All right, I'm going to close public hearing. House Bill 3219. And
And it's where the smoking is going to be designated. I think so. Is there anything?
We can do it.
I'm going to open work session, House Bill 3128.
Mr. Chair, committee members, we heard House Bill 3128 on Monday. The measure allows the Oregon Liquor Control Commission to waive the corporate surety bond required for grower sales privilege or warehouse licensee under certain circumstances. We were waiting for the analysis on the amendment, which we have the revenue analysis. There is no revenue impact on this. However, we do not have the we have the original fiscal analysis on the measure, which is no fiscal, but we are waiting for the fiscal analysis for the Dash 1 amendment. And, Mr. Chair, we also, currently the measure has a subsequent referral to revenue. We have received permission to remove that and send it straight to the floor.
Do you have anyone to testify?
We do have people that can come forward.
Well, the amendment doesn't do any substantive changes.
No, Mr. Chair, it's reciprocity for other states.
And would not have an impact on revenue or fiscal relative to the initial impact statements?
It is my understanding, Mr. Chair, yes.
Well, then, folks, what I would like to do, if I enjoy the support of the committee, is suspend rules for the purposes of moving this. And we have rescinded this?
Yes, we can rescind that, Mr. Chair.
First, we'll suspend rules to rescind the referral to revenue. Do we need to do that?
Actually, Mr. Chair, we need to suspend the rules first. Then we can do
okay,
the
I need to
session.
Suspend rules for the purposes of working House Bill 3128. If I enjoy the will support of the committee.
It's fine with me.
It's fine with me.
All right. I need a motion.
Mr. Chair.
Okay. Representative.
I move we suspend the rules for the purposes of working House Bill 3128.
Representative, we suspend the rules for the purpose of having a work session on House Bill 3128. Is there any discussion on the motion? Is there any opposition to the motion? So moved. I would entertain a motion to move Dash 1 amendment in House Bill 3128.
Mr. Chair, I'll move Dash 1's in the 3128.
Representative Cameron moves Dash 1 amendment in House Bill 3128. Is there any discussion on the motion? Is there any opposition to the motion? Seeing none, so moved. Representative?
Mr. Chair, I'll move House Bill 3128 as amended to the House floor with a due pass recommendation
and rescinding
the referral to revenue.
Representative Cameron moves House Bill 3128 as amended for a due pass recommendation and rescinding the subsequent referral to the Committee on Revenue. Is there any discussion on the motion? Is there any opposition to the motion? Seeing none, so moved. Would anyone like to volunteer to carry this bill? Representative Barton, thank you very much. I'll close. Work session. So we have 26:09 and 28:21. Folks, we are going to stand at recess until 9:45, when I intend to have the votes to move House Bill 2699 and House Bill 2821. Representative Witt doesn't feel well today. He is courageously coming in to vote on these bills. And that's why we are waiting for him to get here. So we'll stand at ease until 9:45. And I beg you, folks, please be back here on time.
Are we in recess, Mr. Chair?
Yes. Right. Well, we will be in a moment. House Bill 2699. That's the Enterprise Zone. And House Bill 2821, which is the Family Leave Vacation Bill. All right.
Mr. Chair, before you recess, I just need to declare a potential conflict of interest on House Bill 3128.
So
as I have a family member who has, I believe, a host, has an OLCC license for distribution, so there might be.
Thank you, Representative. Anyone else want to declare any potential conflicts on?
For once, Mr. Chair, I do not.
Okay, all right. Thank you very much. We'll at recess until 9:45, and I beg you to be here promptly. Thank you.